Welcome to CRE Radio with Howard Klein. Our focus is commercial real estate, exploring vital questions, confronting commercial landlords, property and asset managers, investors, brokers, tenants, and anyone providing services to the industry. Your host is Howard Klein. His commercial real estate practice over 35 years has concentrated on broker, leasing, and property management issues. CRE Radio broadcasts are presented with the sole intent of educating listeners. Howard and his guests are specifically not offering legal advice. If you need legal advice, consult your own counsel. CRE Radio is available live and downloadable anytime at creradio.com. Call in during the live show with your comments or questions, 619-393-6492. Then press 1 to be placed in queue. And now, here's Howard Klein.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Commercial Real Estate Radio. I'm your host, Howard Klein. Today's topic, can women break through the glass ceiling in commercial real estate? We have got a great list of guests. This is going to be a forum show where there's going to be a group of people talking, and it's going to be a free forum type thing. Our featured guests are great. We've got Faith Hope Consolo. We have Colette English Dixon. We have Diane Butler. And we have Jennifer, how do you pronounce your last name? Strophy?
That's correct, Howard.
Oh, my goodness. And I didn't butcher the name. And we have Leslie Lundeen by proxy. Actually, it was Leslie who really was the origination of this show because she had invited me to a conference up in San Francisco last October, which was Women in Commercial Real Estate, the Final Frontier Conference. And at that conference, I had the opportunity to see and hear Colette speak and another woman, Nori Girardo.
Right.
And I had drawn from my unique perspective, I looked at what they were both saying, and there were a group of women, at least how I was looking at it, saying women were different and had a unique perspective and should promote that unique perspective to get into the upper echelons of management in commercial real estate. And then there was another perspective that was, well, women are exactly the same as men and there is no differences. And I'm going, well, which is it? And from that, I came up with that question, and I've worked over the quite a few months trying to put this conference or the show together. And so, Leslie, unfortunately, she's not here. We will have some recorded comments from her. And frankly, I've learned a lot along the way. So why don't we, before we go any further, let me remind everybody that our call-in number is 619-393-6492. And if you want to ask a question or leave a comment, press 1 to talk. Or you can leave a message for us on Twitter at CRE Radio. That's the @ CRE Radio. Or you can send an email to us at questions@creradio.com. And we have our Twitter open at the moment so that if you've got any comments during the show, I can read those comments or questions on the show. So, without further ado, why don't we start out with my first question? And by the way, ladies, thank you for being on the show.
Welcome.
Good.
Our pleasure, Howard.
Yes, thank you, Howard. We appreciate it.
And when you each talk, since it's kind of free form, and if there's a deadly silence, I'll then prompt someone. But when you talk, please first identify yourself. We probably won't have to do that through the show because I think that, for instance, Diane and Faith will be clearly distinguishable. You know, Diane having a New York accent and Faith having a Texas drawl.
Now, Howard, you have that. You have that backwards.
Intentionally, yes. You don't know me quite well enough. I am not going to do this straight. I just can't do that. So let's ask the first question. From a business perspective, are women different from men? Who would like to go first? Raise your hand. Faith, why don't you start?
Oh, I don't know, Howard. This is a tough one because this may set the tone. Yes, I think we're different. I think that goes without saying, and I think our approach is different. And what I can bring you from the beginning is that, and I remember when I came into commercial real estate and my niche is retail, there were really no women in New York City when I started, and that was 1985, doing this. And in fact, I went to my first meeting at the Real Estate Board, the Stores Committee, and there was a room full of about 14 men, and I came in and I sat down. They kind of looked me over, and the head of the committee leaned over and he said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "What do you mean? I'm joining you guys in the commercial real estate industry." And he said, "Well, why don't you do residential? You really weren't. I don't think you belong here. I don't think you know how tough it could be." So I think women weren't expected to do much of anything or even venture into this part of the community. And the interesting thing, without belaboring the story, is many years later, actually about a half a dozen years later, half the men in that room were working for me. So I think that tells it all. And this was my third career. I was just determined that this is where I should be. And nobody was going to stop me. And actually, my approach, knowing that I was different, was just to make myself part of the boys' club. I didn't really go the feminist route. I didn't take the sharp edges. I kind of went the sugary success way, and it's worked for me. And I've used all my intuitiveness, which I think women have more than men, and I think that comes naturally, to make it work. And
well, Colette, let me ask you this question. Because you're the one who first started this question in my mind when you spoke at the Final Frontier. And in our later conversations, you helped me to distinguish apples from, I think it was Diane who references applesauce, or maybe it was Leslie. When you spoke, you had said, "Hey, we are different from men, and you should promote the perspective that women have as different." Could you embellish upon that?
Well, the reason why I said that, Howard, is that this whole thing about are women different from men, and I think that women, just by virtue of how many women are socialized by maybe not to put too much into it, how women tend to engage on a personal level, how women think, is a little different than how men may think or perceive a situation. There are real benefits to that different perspective. I think that men and women at a certain level, many women, want to achieve the same thing, from a career success perspective as men do. But the perspective we bring to the table and the efforts that we can bring to an organization's success, I think, provides a broader view, provides a different view, and makes the organization that much stronger, and that we should not try to hide those talents.
Now, would that be different?
Talents actually help flesh out the whole picture for the benefit of the bigger organization.
But, yeah, but that's not anything that is unique to women in terms of having a different perspective. Wouldn't it be, at least from my opinion, any business would benefit from having people with different perspectives, whether they be man or woman, Asian, African-American, et cetera.
But you know what, Howard? This is Diane. Commercial real estate has always been so male-dominated. You have not had that trend until, really the last 10 years or so. And as Faith alluded to earlier, I was in a business that was appraisal that was completely male dominated, and I was one of the first commercial appraisers in my market to pursue an MAI designation. There were very few women MAIs, and as she alluded to, I just jumped right in there and didn't distinguish myself. I mean, I wanted to be, you know, I wanted to build a great career, build a great business, and, you know, whether I was a woman or not was not going to stop me. And so I think, you know, women have a totally different perspective when it comes to how they work in teams. They're more collaborative. I think they're more intuitive. And, you know, to Colette's point, that perspective makes a company better rounded. It makes them well-rounded. It allows them to function better. And I think you and I talked about this a week or so ago about being on a corporate board, for instance. I mean, there are proven facts that show boards that are comprised of more women, are those companies are more profitable, they have a different perspective, and they're better run. So,
It's interesting you say that, because I just saw an article about Sheryl Sandberg being appointed to the board of Facebook, and which was something that we'll talk about, and how some people were very surprised and other people weren't. And I don't see why anybody should be surprised. I mean, if you looked at her background.
She's the CFO of the company. Why is that surprising?
No, it shouldn't be. That was my attitude, was why would anybody? I mean, she's got an incredible background. She's the COO of a company. Yeah, that's exactly where she should be, is on the board. People would be foolish not to have her on the board. Well, and that's me talking too much. Jennifer, what's your perspective on this? Because your perspective is a little bit different. You're not in the executive or partner level of a law firm, but you're having to deal with the similar issues.
Sure. You know, I agree with what each of the women have said, and I do also, you know, being a associate lawyer in the commercial real estate industry I tend to be the only woman in many meetings, so I certainly understand the perspective that everybody shared so far. But I do believe that, you know, so it's a little bit of an overgeneralization to say that women are either different or the same from men, simply because, as you mentioned earlier, Howard, you know, it really every person really is different, and it depends on, you know, a whole host of factors, not only gender, but also ethnicity, socioeconomic status, you know, your upbringing, your experiences, all sorts of things. But I think more importantly, what is more important is actually the societal belief that women are different than men. And that tends to have a little bit of a negative connotation in the professional industries, and especially commercial real estate. And that's a stereotype or perception that I will be very excited for when that's overcome.
I agree with you. And we're going to take a short break, after which we will be discussing if there is a glass ceiling. So everybody hold on. We're going to hear our dial-in numbers.
This is Commercial Real Estate Radio with Howard Klein. If you have a question or a comment for Howard or his guests, please call 619-393-6492. That's area 619-393-6492. Then press 1 to be placed in queue.
And welcome back. We're here at CRE Radio, and we've got a great panel of guests, including Jennifer Strophy, Diane Butler, Colette English-Dixon, and Faith Hope Consolo. I just did it in reverse order to give some fairness here. Does anybody have anything else to add as to whether or not men and women are different? Because I don't want to gloss over that, because in a way I agree with Jennifer. Is that, wait a second, everybody's a person. I think if you took 10 million women as compared to 10 million men, you're going to find 53, 54, maybe 55% of the women evidencing certain traits different from men. But I think care has to be taken to also say that each person's an individual and everybody should be treated fairly, not unfairly because they're a woman or unfairly because they're African American or Asian.
Okay.
This is Colette. I mean, I think that I don't disagree with Jennifer's comments that at the end of the day, a lot of these things are generalizations. But unfortunately, it is those generalizations that tend to result in some of the differentiations that occur. And if people perceive that being a woman brings with it certain baggage, or being an African American, or being an Asian brings with it certain baggage, then it is very hard to overcome that to the point that it does not become an impediment to success. So I don't believe that the differences are this huge, vast thing. The diversity of perspective, no matter where you get it, is important to have at the table. In this particular dialogue, though, we're saying that that lack of perspective is a limitation in the industry, and that that lack of perspective or the perception that that perspective isn't needed or that perspective is a negative or the way they do things is a negative has been used to keep women from necessarily getting the parity of success and achievement in the industry in many instances. That's all I would say about it.
I think it's a great point. Anybody else?
I agree with Colette. I think things are changing, though, slowly, but they're changing. And I think those firms that are more progressive when it comes to this issue are those that are doing better. They're succeeding.
So would it be fair to say that the glass ceiling is perhaps a perspective that the industry has that women bring baggage to the table?
Oh.
That was Faith, just in case anybody wanted to know.
That's a tough one. Colette, I was waiting for you, the voice of reason.
Well,
I'm trying to understand what he meant by that.
Well, I got to be very careful here. No, I think the point is that I thought from what you were saying is that the focus really shouldn't be on whether or not there are differences between men and women, but the point should be that there shouldn't be a perception, a negative perception of bringing a woman to the table. That it's an issue of equality. That's probably not a good word, but someone comment on that.
No, we're not going to comment. Howard, that sounds too simplistic. You know this. We all know there's perception and there's reality. But I can tell you, you know, just in my arena, I mean, I haven't gotten to the glass ceiling. Every time they say the glass ceiling and Colette knows this, I roll my eyes because I say, oh, again, that glass ceiling question, you know. I just think that it still does exist, but you know what? I think all of us and each of us in our careers just keep marching forward. And we can't, you know, we can't be saddled with these old, I don't know, what do I want to say? You help me out here. You know, not just the perceptions, but all of this tagging and labels. You know, the way we've been able to deal with diversity and all of those other socioeconomic issues, I think the woman issue is not going to go away. But I don't think it's going to be that much on the radar screen, even maybe several years from now, because today it's so much less than when any of us started. I certainly, for myself, I go and I make deals, and at the table, the chairman of the Fortune 100 company is a woman, the attorney is a woman, the real estate director is a woman on my own retail. I'm a woman broker representative. So I have 6-8 women in the room working on a transaction where there were only 7 men and myself. So I can just see the change in my day-to-day. And I don't want to say take it for granted, but it's becoming more of the norm than the exception. Or it's just me in New York where we kind of overcome a lot of things. I don't know what the other panelists think, but I'm just seeing it more as the norm than the exception.
Well, I think you're right, Faith. I think, you know, as demographics have continued to change, I think it will become less of an issue. Not to say that there still won't be that perception, but I think it'll become less of an issue. I mean, I have six partners in my company. I'm the CEO, and three of them are women. So, and a lot of our senior level managers are women. And I just, you know, in the last 10 years, I've seen in our industry and in our business that change.
Well, I think that the numbers are actually helping us. I mean, I think as you're speaking, Diane and Faith, there are more women engaged in the industry. And the Crew Network industry research has proven that even through the downturn, women have continued to enter into this industry. The issue becomes not getting us in the door, not getting us in meaningful roles, but moving women on a parity level to the senior executive and C-suite levels of the industry. That's where the glitch occurs, Howard. And that goes what we're talking about. It's not that there is a lack of appreciation of the talent, that there's a lack of interest in the engagement of women in the industry. I think the challenge is how are we going to take this talent pool and bring that to the upper levels of leadership and a strategic engagement in the industry on parity with the number of women in the industry.
And Colette, you know,
that's part of the problem.
The research that Crew Network has done, Howard, mm-hmm. part of this parity issue that Colette is talking about is compensation. That is a huge part of it. So it's, you know, we are getting there, but there's still the disconnect in many areas of senior level management and beyond with compensation.
I don't
with
get
representation.
Yeah, I agree. No.
Yeah,
you
I don't
get
sure.
one, Alice.
Yeah,
don't
I
get
no,
far.
I don't get why there should be a difference in compensation. I know I've heard it over and over again, and I don't doubt that there is because the research is the research, but I don't understand it at all.
Okay, so you can lobby for us. Howard will be our lobby. Did you hear that?
I'll lobby,
Howard's
but I think
they're going to be lobbying for women and more equal pay. Very good.
You need the
not
women's.
Retaining you just yet, but it sounds good.
You need the women's tennis players. They know how to do it.
That's it. Just keep moving forward. Practice. Get up every day. I mean, if everybody said to me, and I know that maybe there's people on this panel say she's crazy, what's your 5-year plan, 10-year plan? Well, right now with this moving market and how things change, they don't even change on a monthly or yearly basis. They kind of change on a daily basis. I feel like a tap dancer, and I should put my shoes on and keep tapping. But I keep trying to move with the market to just keep moving forward, keep moving up. Keep all the transactions up, keep maintaining the network, but just every day you have to think differently and you have to constantly reinvent yourself. And I wouldn't go out to say that women can reinvent themselves, but you have to be entirely flexible. And I think that's part of all of this, you know. And I don't want to go into the mother, the family, the nurturing, but I do think women are more nurturing. And I will tell you this. I spend more time nurturing my women interns than my men. My men, I spin like a top, and I send them right out. But the women, they take much more time, much more nurturing, and much more investment. And I think, and I spend a lot of time trying to make them, I don't want to harden them up, but make them stronger and make them reinforce that you can do it. You know that. Can you have it all? No, you can't have it all the time. But certainly every day if you just keep looking forward. I think like a trader, you know. Yesterday was yesterday, today's today, tomorrow. And just keep going forward. And I think that's what we've pushed from the whole women issue and what the organizations have pushed and what the support has pushed and the lobbyists have pushed. And so maybe we'll read the numbers next year and see there's more women in the Fortune 100, Fortune 500 companies. There'll be more chairmen. There'll be more people and more women in the corner office. But I think all of us here today think about that, but we all just keep going back in our careers and doing what we know how to do best.
Well, and I have a question, Howard. Faith
sure.
alluded to her women taking more time, her women interns. Do you have a comment to make on women as risk takers, especially in those early stages of their career?
Is that for me?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, risk tech as well. They have to spend... The women, there's two types. The younger one, actually age is very... After having trained a lot of women, age really makes the mark difference. The younger ones become much more frustrated, much more, you know... They fall easily, more easily than the older ones. And I feel that I get a lot of older ones re-entering the business after the family into a new career. And they're stronger because they've had to put up with more. They've had to deal with more. They have more experience. And they usually not only remain stronger, but they're usually the ones that exceed much quicker. It's the younger ones. You know, they don't have the patience. They don't, and it's staying power. You know, in commercial, but especially in brokerage, where it's all on commission when they start, it's a lot of staying power. And I tell them these simple stories, you know, about, you know, my first boss said, and this is my third career, if you can get through the first 2 years, kind of sounds like a marriage, right? If you can get through the first 2 years, you're there. But I try to tell them that. But at the sixth or the seventh month level, I feel like I'm giving daily reinforcement more than anything. I mean, it's just hand-holding beyond. And, you know, people say to me, but Faith, you never had any children. I said, these are my children. You know, I just understand it's a growing up period. It takes a lot of time. The men don't. You know right away, 3-4 months, they're going to do it or they're not going to do it. They're going to understand because they're much more transparent. You see their emotions.
I'm sorry.
I'm very good at this. No, you see it more. It's more on the surface. Women, they don't want to show you. They don't want to react. You know, I can tell in their face because I read people very well. You know, that I can say, I see you're frustrated. Tell me what you're thinking. You know, to verbalize more. The guys come in and say, oh, this lousy deal, oh, this landlord did this. They tell me right away. They smack me in the face, whether I'm coming out of the ladies' room, whether I'm walking in the hall, whether I'm with an elevator. The women are different. They come, Faith, can I talk to you? Faith, I need a minute. Whatever. No, just tell me. Spit it, you know.
Oh,
you
I have.
Go in and just take your part of the deal.
I'm sorry, but I have this picture in my head of some 32-year-old man walking into the ladies' room and talking over the stall to you.
Oh, no, talking right through the door. I could say, right through the door. Are you in there, Faith? I said, you know I'm here. What is it? I'll be right out. And they just keep talking. They just keep talking.
Well,
a woman
Faith,
will come in the ladies' room with you, and they won't say anything. They'll wait till you come out, wait till you wash your hands, look at your clothes. But I'm just telling you, no, no, no. They
Faith,
want it when they want it when they want it.
Faith, I've got to interrupt you.
I'm not even going to say what else I'm thinking because I'm going down a whole other road.
Yeah, Faith, I got to interrupt you. I got to stop you from just talking because I need to get to the commercials. When we come back, we'll be talking about other things, including mentoring. I want to talk about mentoring a bit. Because Diane really got into this issue, and I've read in a couple of other articles on mentoring. Colette also talked about that. So why don't you hold on? As soon as we're done with these messages, we'll come back. Actually, when we come back from the messages, we're going to hear from Leslie about some of her perspectives. So hold on.
Go mobile with the analyst. When the deal changes, and you know it will, be ready whenever, wherever to update property analyses with the analyst. Multi-page reports in seconds sent straight from your mobile device to your client's email. Environmental summaries delivered right to your iPhone or iPad in as little as 10 minutes. Free from your desk at last with the analyst. Log on to creradio.com for Howard's comments, his one-on-one with developer Todd Kuhlman, and links to the analyst.
And we're almost back. Let's hear from Monogram Magic.
If you need anything with your company logo on it, you need Monogram Magic. T-shirts, ball caps, polo shirts, anything. Monogram Magic does it beautifully, does it right, and does it right on time. For over 20 years, Monogram Magic has produced corporate apparel your people will be proud to wear. Large orders or small, it's all about attention to detail. See for yourself. Here's the website, logostolife.com. That's LOGOS, the number 2, then LIFE.com. LogosToLife.com. This is Commercial Real Estate Radio with Howard Klein. If you have a question or a comment for Howard or his guests, please call 619-393-6492. That's area 619-393-6492. Then press 1 to be placed in queue.
Okay, we're at CRE Radio. Welcome back. Let's hear from Leslie Lundeen.
You know, what's interesting is when you look at the college statistics, it's actually easier to get into the better universities when you're a white male than it used to be, because there are so many qualified and overqualified girls that they're actually trying to find boys to compete with them, which is pretty interesting because the girls are, their grades are better. They're, the things that make up, and again, because I have high schoolers, so I'm focused on this, the types of things that it takes to get into, like, the Ivy League schools, the Stanfords, the Cals of the world, are things that girls are doing in high school and boys are falling behind on. Well, I mean, what's odd is that if you look at, like, Nori Girardo's paper, she actually thinks we've gone in the wrong direction.
Good for her.
Well, and that's what her statistics show, is that we're, you know, women in, you know, kind of senior kind of money handling, you know, people that really touch and affect the money, and the true decision makers at the top are thinning out. And I'm not sure why that would be, and maybe it's just a certain generation, but, you know, I have high schoolers and I see the girls and the boys and what they do in middle school and high school, and, you know, the girls are real go-getters these days. They're aggressive, and, you know, I don't think they're being raised to think that they should just get married and have kids and stay home.
Okay, so why don't we talk a little bit about we're going to go back to differences between men and women, but perhaps boys and girls, and how that affects everything, and then go into the conversation of where we're going with this. You know, let me put it this way. I think women have a tremendous advantage, or girls have a tremendous advantage over boys through college, perhaps even graduate school. And then for some reason, it seems to be that advantage goes away. Does anybody have any comments on that?
What kind of advantage do you mean, Howard? Do you have some specific? I mean,
yeah, well, okay. I am not an expert. So this is, you know, just my own perspective. And you could attack it, you could disagree with it, and who knows if I have any clue of what I'm talking
about. Emotional advantage, you mean?
I think that as girls grow up...
Emotional advantage, I don't know.
No, what I feel is that young girls have this... They mature much faster, both emotionally and sometimes physically. And I think that they're far more advanced than boys... Certainly, at least through college, and this is a gross generalization, but I think that most people who have children or have seen children or seen people through college will tell you this, is that, you know, if you had a choice, and this is what Leslie was talking about, if you had a choice at that age group, hands down, I would take a woman over a man in their 20s. Because I think there's a tremendous advantage. But apparently what Nori is indicating is that somehow or another, after you get out of college or graduate school, that it's like women are not taking advantage of that advantage. That sounds a little bit redundant. So anybody have any thoughts on that?
Well, one thought I had, Howard, and I think I somewhat agree, and it would be interesting to hear what Jennifer thinks from the legal side, because as you can see in the numbers, you know, once women get out of college, generally in this industry, they start out making less money than the guys do. Same folks, same degree, start a job. Women many times start at a lower compensation level, walking in the door. And is that because they don't know how to negotiate well? Is that because the guy potentially has a, you know, a leg up on how to schmooze the boss? I don't know what that is, but for some reason, it seems that once they get their degrees and they enter the workplace, women start to slip. This is gross generalization, and all of this is driven on gross generalizations. But the facts seem to show that in this industry in particular, many women who start as analysts start at like 15 to 20% less pay per year than the guys do. And I think I've heard that statistic in other industry disciplines, not just commercial real estate. So the question is, why is that, and why are the guys getting a leg up on that that continues to grow from there? Is it because the guys are hiring the guys? Is it because guys assume that other guys are going to get married, they need to raise their families, and women are going to get married to somebody else and don't need to do that? Is it because women aren't cutthroat enough negotiators? Is it because we don't know what we're worth? I don't know. But there have been other statistics that talk about how young women are in leadership roles going through college, and for some reason, or at least through high school, for some reason when they start to come out of college, that edge, that leadership engagement tends to become second over something else. Is it the need to be socially engaged, to not intimidate the guys? I don't know what it is, but something changes in there. And that makes for a very slippery slope to try to hold on to. I mean, Jennifer, are you finding those sort of challenges in law?
Well, I think that it's actually a very interesting point. And I'm going to say yes. Generally, the answer is yes. But I think it's also important to remember that these statistics of women exceeding participation in college or getting more accolades in colleges or graduating in higher numbers in college and through graduate courses are fairly recent. I mean, I remember, and this wasn't too long ago, but I remember when I was going to school that the odds were still slanted towards men. There were more men enrolling in colleges and graduating college and graduate school than women. And at least from the law school perspective, those percentages have changed now. So yeah. Women are actually, you know, there's more women graduating law school and graduating towards the tops of their classes. But I think now we take that for granted, and so we've moved on and we're looking at, well, why isn't this continuing in the corporate world or the business world? And that's the whole concept or question of, you know, this glass ceiling, right, this invisible barrier that for some reason impedes women's career advancement after post-college or post-graduate school. Why is that happening? And obviously there's many, many theories on why it's happening. And if anyone's interested in my theories, then I will supply those later. Because
well,
I think I've probably spoken enough right now.
No, I'd like to hear your theories. Because I have my own theories, too. But please,
sure.
That's
well,
what the show's
all
about.
All right, well, let me be brief so that I know the other women can speak as well. But, I mean, I personally believe it's just going to take some time. You know, as the original paradigm for at least the United States, and it's different in every region, was, you know, men went to work in the office and women worked at home. And that has been changing. I mean, it was only in the 1960s when it became illegal to discriminate against women in the workforce. So it really wasn't that long ago, even though it seems like it's been forever. And so, you know, you have all of these men in the workforce, and when women come in, then, you know, it just takes time because, as Colette mentioned, I do believe also that, you know, people want to hire people that are similar to them often. So if the workforce is flush with men in these C-suite positions, then they're typically or usually going to want to mentor someone like them to take their place. So, you know, once that transitions, we now have more women, you know, in the C-suite positions, in the Fortune 500 companies. They'll start mentoring women, and it's going to, you know, eventually, you know, be equalized. So, and there was actually a study last year by UC Davis that talked about it's going to take another century for women to gain parity in the C-suite positions. Now, that's not just in commercial real estate; that's, you know, industry wide. And I don't know if I agree with that. You know, especially with the more progressive attitudes of the Generation Y. Folks.
I think, Jennifer, one of the challenges that appears to be going on is keeping the talented women in the industry, keeping the talented women engaged in the effort to continue to move up. A lot of people just kind of go, I'm tired of this. I'm not. This is taking too long. It's very frustrating. The sponsorship gap, the mentoring gap, I think, similar to the dialogue that came out through the Sandberg issues last week, is how do you keep women, the women who actually are the talented 10th, all right, whatever we're going to call this group, that have the capabilities to lead the industry or any economic segment, keeping them in the industries long enough, giving them the support that they need to excel and to take on these roles. There seems to be a gap in there, and I think some of it is the sponsorship mentoring gap, Howard, and having the right mentors and the right sponsors to be able to get the opportunities that position you to take on those roles and keep you engaged enough to want to work through it.
And Howard, we've...
Go ahead,
Colette.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Diane.
I was just going to say that, you know, Crew Network has just published a white paper on the success and satisfaction of women in commercial real estate, and a good deal of that deals with the differences in sponsorship and mentorship. And for the most part, men are sponsored and women are mentored. There are a lot of companies, a lot of Fortune 500 companies, a lot of commercial real estate companies that have mentoring programs for women, and they are not as effective as a woman being sponsored. Many times when you're sponsored, you don't even know you're being sponsored. And so the lack of access to the right talent in a company or access to people that could further your career, whether it's internal or external, is very important. So we're getting ready to do more research on this aspect of sponsorship versus mentorship.
What could you express what the difference is between sponsorship and mentorship? We talked about
Colette,
this,
jump in. You were talking about this a minute ago.
The big mentorship often is someone takes you by the hand and shows you the ropes. You know, it could be the mundane stuff like this is what you wear, this is what you don't wear, this is how you talk, this is how you present yourself. It is the learning the ropes, someone that basically keeps you from tripping over your own feet unnecessarily, someone that's a sounding board for issues and concerns. A sponsor takes all that and ramps it up to the point where that person is willing to use their political chips to help get you opportunities. They're out there advancing you. They're out there exposing you to the opportunities or helping you get positioned to take advantage of opportunities that further advance you. Because, of course, it makes them look good because they're bringing great talent to the table. It's a quid pro quo kind of thing, but it's someone who's willing to expend their political capital on your behalf. That is a key and incredible advantage. You talk about having the experiences and being given those line opportunities, you know, those operating line opportunities that seem to make the difference in investment banking or whatever to the people who ascend to the top. In many instances, the people who get those opportunities are not only smart, but they've also had someone who is willing to advocate for them to have those opportunities and promote them. That, to me, is the big difference.
I have a question here on Twitter from Barbie, I think it's Reuter. I should put my glasses on.
We know Barbie.
Yeah, Barbie asked the question, Colette, why are women earning less?
I wish I knew, Barbie. sorry. I wish I knew. That actually worked for me, too. It seems like we start out making less potentially in some roles. I think, actually, Faith, your role, like, as a broker, in some respects, since that may be a little bit more kind of eat what you, you know, you get what you work for, I think in the corporate structure, it's often, and it can be, I guess, in brokerage. I'm not that privy to it, so it'd be great to get your perspective. And Jennifer, also on the law side. But it's that entry-level negotiation of where you start, knowing what you're worth, knowing what the market is paying, and using that to your advantage. And I think that many instances, we're not up to speed on what the market's paying for comparable talent, and we may be adverse to fighting for it, thinking that we'll get it if we work hard enough. Sometimes you get it because you ask for it. And I don't know that as a whole or historically women have been as aggressive promoting themselves for raises and entry-level starting salaries. So compensation information is often very key to that.
And Howard, we've also done some research on compensation, which is what Colette's talking about in terms of just the basis for some of the statements. Hmm. Women just don't ask.
Yeah, if you don't ask, if you don't know, then you can't ask for it. So it's being well armed and know what's going out there, what's going on in the market, and fighting for what you think is fair compensation based on market comp and trying to get it that way.
I mean, you've just given a great reason for women to participate and be part of Crew Network. I mean, if nothing else, you at least will know immediately that you're not asking, and maybe you should ask. That's a good start.
Well, I think they give a big support beyond that, Howard. Not only is it a great information network, but it's an incredible support system. And even for many of us in the business many, many years, to call anybody in Crew all over the country, no matter what their discipline is, and ask their advice or talk to them about the market, I mean, that's like an incredible source. That's like a master Rolodex. That no matter how much you know or how many people you know, being able to reach out, and I found this just with my crew here in New York and having been on the board of ARU, YMREA, Real Estate Board, many organizations in the last 5 years, and that's all I've been a member of NYCRU, I've found incredible talent, resourcefulness, and in fact, many of the women I utilized in my day-to-day just in the last 3 years. In fact, two of them are representing me personally, legally. I have brokers, appraisers. It's just been an incredible source. It's a small, the New York chapter is smaller than some of the other chapters, but it's very special because we're very much a boutique and there's a lot of talent. I feel very, very fortunate to be among this group. I mean, just even socially when I'm with them, you're learning something all the time and you're getting great support. I mean, and so I don't want to do the networking and the organization push, pull, pull. But what I think helped me early on is because I became active in a lot of organizations I wanted to join and be part of, and I went and I listened a lot. Now I talk a lot after all these years. But I can tell you, for the first few years, I just sat around and listened. I wanted to be a sponge. I wanted to observe. I wanted to analyze because I wanted to be armed with all that information to help me negotiate.
We're going to take a little break, and we're going to actually hear from our iPad winner. We do an iPad drawing, and actually we pick a winner, and he's from Jennifer's Fabrics. So why don't we take a little break, hear from some of our sponsors.
If you're a retail tenant, you really should belong to the NRTA. They're an organization of the tenants, by the tenants, and for the tenants. Whether you manage a large portfolio or just a mom and pop, the National Retail Tenants Association is on your side. NRTA exists to protect retail tenants everywhere and to make sure landlord billings are correct. Don't wait for your next statement of CAM charges to arrive. Log on to retailtenants.org. That's retailtenants.org. Find out more today. What's next for commercial real estate and retail marketing? Pop-up retail. And it's here now. PopUpInsider.com is the premier online resource for owners to advertise and fill properties for temporary use. PopUpInsider.com is where merchants and brands shop for temporary locations. See for yourself. Go to PopUpInsider.com. Create your own account. Market your empty spaces or view available locations for your business. All on one convenient site. PopUpInsider.com.
Paul, congratulations. You have won a iPad 2, which I have in front of me and is about to be handed it to me. I actually purchased it about a month ago. It's in a sealed package. And your name has been drawn as part of our drawings for an iPad 2 with CRE Radio. Congratulations.
Wow, and thank you, Howard. I'm stunned because I'm pleased. I'm lucky as a result of, I don't know, using your great resource, and now I get a phone call like this. It's a double bonus.
Oh, yeah. You said that so well, which you didn't have to do.
And then, I never expected that, so.
Well, we actually do a drawing. This is not a hoax. We do it. You know, I have to maintain a certain level of trust. It's a really nice device. I use an iPad. Do you have one already?
No, nothing close to it. Well, always wanted one. One of the things I most recently did was listened in to one of your shows about disaster recovery and crisis planning was one of the topics, and it's something we all need to be prepared for.
This is Commercial Real Estate Radio with Howard Klein. If you have a question or a comment for Howard or his guest, please call 619-393-6492. That's area 619-393-6492. Then press 1 to be placed in queue.
Okay, welcome back to CRE Radio. Our show is Can Women Break the Glass Ceiling in Commercial Real Estate? Why don't we attack this subject of child rearing and the aspect of a woman's career where they may choose to have children. How does that, I mean, to me, the effect of that is pretty significant, but how does that affect, you know, the overall numbers? Women go through college, they're being very professional, they're probably at that stage much more advanced than their male counterparts, and then all of a sudden you have this physical issue that's also an emotional issue. How does that affect everything from your perspective?
Well, I'm staying out of it. I don't have any children, Howard, so I'm staying out of it.
I have a daughter, and she's 19.
Okay.
And I would tell you that it took a bit more energy to try to maintain all that than I probably ever imagined. I think I was really fortunate that the firm I'm with allowed me to work around some things. I think it's harder in some disciplines than in others. Uh-huh. I think that the ability to balance, I'm not talking 50-50, I'm talking like everything just on a scale, all right? It's not even, but the ability to kind of handle all of that can be so dramatically impacted by the support you have either within your family, with your spouse, with your company. And for some people, if they have all those pieces together, it makes it easier. It never makes it easy. And it can be, if you can't have the right mix of support, incredibly distracting to the forward progress you might want to make in your career, which is why, you know, a number of women choose to take a back seat on their career while they try to get their children through their first years. Others try to juggle it all and are incredibly tired and a bit worn out, and yet they manage to prevail through it all. And then other people may have the benefit of an incredibly wealthy background where they can hire the people they want to have, support them, and make it a bit easier. But it's never easy.
Well, isn't that part of the conversation?
Howard,
go ahead. I'll get to the Anne Marie Slaughter and Sheryl Sandberg comments.
Well, it's Diane. And some of the CEOs that we interviewed in our last white paper, this was one of the elements that they are concerned about in terms of their providing flexibility to women. You know, they don't want to lose women. We interviewed a couple that were in the accounting industry, and that path is pretty to get to partner and to get to senior partner. And, you know, the operating committee requires a lot of tenacity. And so there are many women in that profession in particular that get stalled at that partner level and don't seem to want to go any higher in their companies because of this aspect. And they realize that they're losing the talents of those very talented women. And one of the things that industry is trying to address is how do they provide, what type of programming, how can they provide opportunities to work through those years that women go through.
Yeah, I think that is part of the conversation, you know, between Sherry Blair, Anne Marie Slaughter, and Sheryl Sandberg. And I even saw the interview on CNN, and it just seemed so obvious to me. It's like, wait, in order to get into the C-suite, you might go, I think the example was of an attorney who wanted to be a partner, general counsel. They wanted to move her into the general counsel position, and she said, well, it's a tough decision, but I need to work from the house one day a week. And they said no. That's absurd. But that's a gross example.
It may be a gross example, but it happens probably a lot more than you might imagine.
How much should a company – how flexible should a company be? At what point is it too flexible?
Oh, God.
I'm not going to touch that one.
Well, no, I think there should be a reasonable guideline. You can't say 1 day or 2 days or 3 days. I don't think that's really the issue. But I think as long as it doesn't affect the performance and the results of the woman that is expected to do the job, what difference does it make? I think it should be as flexible as long as it maintains the expectations of the results, not necessarily the hours.
I would concur.
Right, but it sounds a little simplistic how it is. Probably all this case-by-case basis,
sure,
depending on the discipline and the time, because, like, for instance, I know the lawyers, and many of the lawyers here in New York, and they're almost working 24 hours and straight through. So
that's
I'm
right.
Sure that, you know, it has to be – that's probably a negotiation, too. That's probably a negotiation, the woman with the company that she's with. That's just another negotiation, you know, telling, you know, I'll get the job done, but this is what I need in basis of time frame. And as I said, I have no children, but I would think that's just another negotiation to make it all work.
In some respects, it's culture. In some respects, it's trying to maintain a culture. I think that firms should look at on a broad base what they need to do from a personnel perspective and policies in order to be as successful as they can be and to avail themselves of a broad range of potential tools that may help maintain the talent that they need, not just at the top, in the middle, the cultivated talent in the pipeline. There's a big picture in that, and it all comes to if you want to be an employer of choice with the best talent in the market, you develop the programs it takes to attract, retain, and advance the success of that talent because it works to your bottom line. So I don't know how far you go with it, but I think you consider going as far as you need to in order to be as successful as you can as a company.
I knew there was a reason why I liked you, Colette. Well, that was Colette, wasn't it?
It was.
Well
put. That's a fallback position. Just look to her. I can practically see it through the telephone.
She's got a face for radio, right? Actually, she does. Okay, so we've got this issue of childbearing and child rearing, and that's not an issue that you can get rid of. That issue will always be there. Now, some women may choose not to have children, but many women do. How do you deal with the focus issue? And this is where, okay, let me, this is from my male perspective. I run two businesses. And I'm having the most difficult time. Setting forth the time for each business is difficult. But the most difficult thing is the focus. I have to switch one focus to the next. And it's like I'm being married to both businesses. Now, I know that the people on this panel right now, in order to get where you're at, you work like the Dickens. You're married to your job. You're married to your profession. But with
I'm not
children,
married to somebody else, Howard.
Howard,
we got to teach you flexibility there. Oh. Come on, girl. Teach you flexibility.
Oh, gosh. Well, I know Jennifer. She's an attorney. And I know.
No, I'm not.
You're not. Now, see, that's good. Well, then maybe we need a culture change, because I was brought up that I'm literally married to my practice. There's no such thing as not having an opportunity to work. I'm accustomed to working on Saturdays. I work on Sundays. But I also have the flexibility to get away and see my kids play basketball, go to the choir. I kind of control my own life. Not everybody has the opportunity to do that. How do you adjust your focus? Maybe none of you are old enough to have that problem.
What's the matter? You don't know how to switch gears, Howard? We have to help them now.
Gosh.
Howard, I think women are, the fact that they multitask so well allows for focus on and in the areas that they need to focus. So I think they can. It's just a matter of whether they want to or not.
Yeah, you're probably right. I am constantly amazed at my wife, who runs her own business and does very well and has made all kinds of adjustments. And she's a great mom and she's a great wife. And I couldn't even come close to her.
Okay, one for the team.
Yeah, one for the team. You know. And so if you don't say anything, Paul, who won the iPad, it's not Jennifer's, it's Joanne's, which is a bit of a problem because my wife's name is Joanne. So I said it wrong, and I'm probably in trouble. So Sheryl Sandberg has an article about don't leave before you leave. Has anybody read that?
I've read the aftermath. I haven't read her actual article.
I've read the article, and I'll kind of make it brief, but she addresses the issue of childbearing and child rearing. And one of the things that she says is that she has a sense that many women, once they start working and they start considering that they may have children, they actually start gearing down. And that's what she says.
Start what, Howard?
Gearing down. Instead of being the tryhards that Leslie refers to, instead of being those, you know, really accomplished, putting everything out, people that they were in college, that she gets this sense that they actually, well, you know, maybe I want to meet someone and raise some children. And in anticipation of that, they start pulling back a little bit. They're not the same people that they were in college. Could that be an explanation of, you know, what Nori sees is a change once people get out of college?
I think for some people that may be a contributor to it. I don't think that women who are career focused and looking to be very successful and to ascend the ladder in corporate America approach it that way. I think it's all about, I think it's, again, it's like, I think it's a generalization. I mean, I thought about having children, but I didn't, like, trend pull back because I was planning to do that. It's all about choices that you make. It's all about the choices of where you want to go, and I don't think that that's a, I don't think that that's necessarily accurate across the board.
Now, are all of you representative of the women out there?
That's a hard one.
I know.
Are
that's
we representative of all the women out there?
No, you're not. Obviously not. Uh-huh. But I mean, I've got some very impressive women on the radio show, and you all have accomplished things because of your unique skills and abilities and intelligence. But the question is, you're talking from a very high pedestal. What about everybody else out there?
Well, what do you mean, the invisible people?
Yeah.
We're just simple, but
you know what, Howard, I think it's
doing all these other women, not just, and people doing, men, women, what we do, it's just that we're on the radar screen right now. Your focus, and we're sharing our feelings and views and perspective with you, but in back of us are hundreds of thousands of women and other people doing exactly what we're doing, but we're not invisible. We're visible now, so you're shining the light on us.
No.
But, right, Colette, aren't there plenty of people in back of us doing the same as what we're doing? I don't feel so unique.
Well, I think what Colette said earlier about choices comes to bear here. I think there are women in the industry that are content with middle management. And what we're talking about is for those that want opportunities, those that are seeking advancement, that we're doing, you know, everything that we can to support those efforts and the companies that are trying to advance and support those efforts. So I think it's about choices. I mean, there are women who are happy with middle level management positions, and there's no right, wrong reason for that. They just made a choice that that's where they want to be. But for those who aspire to something greater, there needs to be a path for that, for them.
And that's the point that I – actually, that was the point that I want to get across in my very Socratic way, is that, you know, you are unique. You are unique among men, and you are unique among women. And you can't expect everyone to be as unique as you. As a matter of fact, you really can't expect anyone to be as unique as you. But the important thing is that everybody be given the opportunity. There may be a whole bunch of unique people who are the invisible people that Faith refers to, who, if given the opportunity, could be as unique as you. And that's
I agree with
thing.
Giving the opportunity, Howard, but I still think you have to want to seize the opportunity. I told the four of my interns yesterday, you have to want it. I can't, you know, I can give you this, you know, the skills. I can make the path. I can give you the outlines. I can tell you what you need to, but you have to want it. You have to want it. I get up every day and I want it. I want to make another deal. I want to write another book. There's so many things I want to do. I have a to-do list. I give my whole staff, you know, from the support staff to the interns, it's a silly sheet. It's got blue lines. I said, every day you got to get up and you make your to-do list. You have to want to do it, Howard. There's a lot of people that are probably much smarter than I am and much more clever, but maybe they don't want it as much. And like what the other panelists said, maybe they're just content with the norm, the average, because with wanting it and doing it all and putting yourself out there, you have to deal with all the other downside of it, and there are downsides. Not everything's an upside, we know that. So there's downsides to deal with it too. But you have to want it. You have to want it. Listen, I played tennis for years. I took private lessons. I went to tennis camp. I was a lousy player. I was never getting any better. One day I put the racket down and I said, I'll never be good. I'll never be able to really hold my own. So I'm a good spectator now. If you So that's it. I mean, so you have to want it, Howard. You have to want it. A lot of people say they want it. You know, we have a joke in our office, you know. Everybody wants to be rich, but nobody wants to work. You know, everybody wants.
But that's not unique.
Silly, all these little things, you know, but it's true.
Faith, that is not unique to men or women.
No.
And that's unique.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, that's unique to the four of you as special people. That is unique to me. Yeah, there are a lot of people smarter than me. I'm just me. And, you know, that's just...
I agree that we all work hard, and there's no way to get around that. There's just no way to get around that, you know? I mean, there's just no way. You know, when I would come home and complain, my husband's investment banker, and I'd say, this is so hard. So, Faith, every career is hard, you know, all that, you know, look down at them. You know, every career is hard. Everything is hard. We have the same issues in all careers. So I think, you know, there's the basics, and then there's where you take it from there. But I agree, given the opportunities, but you have to seize it. You have to seize. And sometimes, you know, the guy in the back of the room, he goes out and seizes it before you do. So, you know, you have to be careful. Nobody's jumping over you.
Okay. I would love to talk on and on and on. Unfortunately, we really can't do that.
Nice things to us now. Look how Howard said we're special and everything. Come on, Howard.
A few more of those
compliments to take us through the rest of the week.
Seriously, you cannot, none of you. Now, I know that you're going to show some modesty or false modesty or whatever, but none of you can say that you're not special. I mean, seriously. And not even I could say that I'm not special. I may be no big deal, but I'm certainly special in my unique way. So this is what we're going to do. I've got a couple of other thoughts and stuff, and I'm going to continue to write this stuff on my blog and communicate, and hopefully you'll continue to communicate back to me. I am in my old age very much into promoting equality and fairness, and you know, it's about time. I spent most of my life not really pushing the things that I probably should have pushed, so I'm a big fan in your court at this point in time. Any final comments from anybody?
This is Jennifer. I have.
Oh, Jennifer. Yeah. Hey, you say something.
No, Colette, you go first.
No, I was just going to say, really, Howard, I totally appreciate your giving all of us kind of a forum to have this dialogue. There's a lot of conversation going on in a lot of corners about the status of women in the economy and the women in industry and not just in commercial real estate. And I think that the uniqueness of each industry needs to be considered. But at the end of the day, it's all about giving those people who have the talent and have the desire, the opportunity and the platform to excel to their, you know, to their utmost extent. And whatever, you know, can be done to help promote that or to right the gaps that prevent them from getting there need to be considered. So I appreciate you giving us a chance to talk about it.
Thank you very much. That was Colette, right?
Yeah, it was
that
me.
Was Colette. Yeah.
Okay, good.
This is Jennifer, and I thought that was obviously very, very well said. And Howard, thank you very much. I appreciate your support and efforts as well. But my final thought is a little bit more contrite. It's just to say that, you know, I don't think that the goal for women in commercial real estate or any industry actually is to try to be more like a man or negotiate more like a man or act more like a man. I really think that, you know, there's successful business negotiation and management styles that are very different, you know, for women and for men and for, you know, all other different ethnicities and socioeconomic backgrounds. So that would be my final thought, that even though men have dominated the industry, but the women are rising, and the goal is not to mimic or copy male strategies, but to employ our own.
Absolutely. Well said. That's it. Well said.
Diane?
And I would say, Howard, that the talents that women bring are exceptional, and they need to be leveraged to the hilt in the industry, because companies will operate better and be more successful and have different perspectives that can be leveraged into success.
I think you're stating the obvious, but that's to me. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in a good way. Faith?
Howard, no, I want to thank you for putting us all together, Howard. And I think that each one has said some very special things, and I agree. I just think we just all have to be ourselves and know what we want and help others along the way.
Great. Anybody have any speaking engagements or appearances coming up? Faith, you're going to have to keep this down to maybe a healthy 2 or 3 dozen.
Oh, no, I'm not. Stop it. No, I'm doing a lot of charity work this summer. We're doing for
good
some
for
of for the foundation. We're doing a lot of charity and fundraising this summer and touring back in the fall. So this is about the giving back. This is the giving back. So that's what we're doing.
Great. Anyone else have got any speaking engagements coming up? Okay.
Diane, we might want to plug the convention. I mean, I think right now,
yeah,
for me,
we've got yeah, exactly. We just had our spring meeting in Montreal, and we'll be having our annual convention in Chicago on October 24th through the 27th, and it's going to be packed with great speakers and great networking and leadership development opportunities. And would invite anyone interested to please reach out to the Crew Network website and sign up and participate in that. It's going to be a great convention.
Super, super.
I am so looking forward to that. This is Jennifer, and just for all those Orange County listeners, I will also give a little plug to you, Crew Orange County. So
yay!
Check out the Crew Orange County website. We have a lot of great educational programs and events coming up.
Yes, great.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Great job.
Well, Howard, you have to come and do this in Chicago with them. Come on, Howard.
We'll see what I can do.
Convention.
I'm not sure if it may be right after. I have, I'm speaking at the ICSC Legal Conference in Orlando at the end of October, but it may be right after the Chicago convention.
Right after it. It actually starts right after it.
Oh, okay. So yeah, maybe I will be able to make it. I always love Chicago. I'd love to participate.
At Orlando, Howard, you're not really a lawyer anymore anyway. You know how you want to be a deep personality.
Well, tell that to ICSC. They're saying that I'm primarily a lawyer. So let me tell you about our next show. Our next show will include some interviews that we did at Recon, where we have Doug Curry, CEO of Xceligent, and Arun Banskotia, CEO of EVGO, which is an electric vehicle charging. He's part of a large electric conglomerate. And also a really neat thing that I had a gentleman that I interviewed that he's got this concept where you can make ice cream from scratch, a retail concept that was just, yeah, like you put the milk together with the cream and the sugar, and within 20 seconds, you've got ice cream. It's kind of like Cold Stone even earlier. It's just really a neat concept. So I'm not really promoting it, but we're going to talk about it because I found it interesting. Also, on July 10th, I was a keynote speaker at the Brokers Forum in Orange County, and we have some interviews from that and from the IREM convention a week earlier. We have Burton Young, of the CEO of Sperry Van S., and Chris Alexander, the author of The Wow Factor, on our July 10th show. And Chris is just a wonderful speaker. And Burton, we had a really good conversation about the things that he can recommend to younger brokers on how to get along. So, everyone, this is a little bit of a dream come true for me. I've been thinking about doing this show since October, when I was at the Final Frontier, and I'm just really excited that I've had all of you on. I've really enjoyed the conversation. I want to continue that conversation, do whatever I can do to help promote Crew Network And with that being said, I bid you all adieu. So, Roger, can you take us away?
This has been CRE Radio with Howard Klein. If you have a question or a topic you would like to discuss, Howard can be reached at 949-288-3707. That's area 949-288-3707. Or by email to howard@creradio.com. CRE Radio is a live and recorded radio show accessible from both the web and your smartphone. Visit creradio.com to download any broadcast anytime or to receive newsletters and updates from Howard. CRE Radio broadcasts are presented on an informational basis only, with the sole intent of educating our listeners. Howard and his guest conversations specifically do not intend to offer legal advice. If you need legal advice, we recommend you seek out your own counsel. Remember, laws and practices may vary from state to state. Please listen again next time to CRE Radio with Howard Klein. Unauthorized editing or copying of portions of this show without the express written consent of CRE Radio is strictly prohibited. All rights reserved.
And that's a wrap. Thank you very much.